whatever you do.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be doing it good today. Welcome to the last Express Yourself of May 2025. We have a great show lined up for you today. Express Yourself broadcasts from the heart of the Carbondale Creative District, and we cover all things around arts and entertainment in the Valley and beyond. We are your hosts, Sammy Kimberly and
Brian Kali. Hello. I guess this is on. I can't hear myself, but there it is.
I can hear
We're you. Going beyond this week with a call to Craig Ferguson, owner of Planet Bluegrass, to talk about the Telluride Bluegrass Festival coming right up June 19th to 22nd. And then sit down with Andy Zanka, Youth Empowerment staff, Brendan Girado.
And Parker.
And Parker. To talk about the big ASYEP takeover and 25th celebration on June 7th.
But first, we are joined in the studio by three amazing musicians, Gonzalo Tepa, Hector Molina, and Manuel Rojas, who are here as part of the Venezuelan celebration put on by Ben Fung Productions tonight. So don't touch that dial. But everything don't mean a thing if it ain't the thing you want. Express yourself. Express yourself. Are expressing ourselves once again. Well, last night I was lucky enough to catch a Venezuelan celebration. It's at the barn in RVR, and it's produced by Ben Fung Productions. And wow, what a show it was! There were at least four standing ovations, maybe even more. And so now I am really thrilled to have in the studio Gonzalo Tepa. Tepa. That was a ha ha ha. Gonzalo Tepa, Hector Molina, and Manuel Rojas. And they are three of the four of the ensemble that we have here in Carbondale for this particular show. And this is the final Ben Fung River Barn House production, and wow, just what a night! Now I am going to start with Gonzalo because you kind of put this whole thing together, and I know that you play here sometimes with Josefina, and you've been on KDNK before, but how did you and Minsa connect, and how did this come to be birthed?
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me, Amy, Brian. Such an honor to be here with you, sharing this moment. And also, thank you, Amy, for hosting and taking care of Manuel and Hector. You're an amazing person, and we're so glad to have you here.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I would say probably around 3 years ago, maybe a little bit more than that. I remember playing for the Culture Caravan, which is this music festival going on in Boulder. And I was playing with my quintet, and I had this amazing cuatro player also from Venezuela and from my hometown, Barquisimeto, Henry Linares. And he came to play with me and my quintet, which we do all, only originals, like music that I write. I compose the music for the band. And it's pretty much like fusion jazz and Latin jazz and Venezuelan music and different things that I use. This time I had Henry, and Henry was playing cuatro. Some of the new compositions were more into Venezuelan music style, and I was doing that. And I remember Mitza was there, and after the concert, she approached me, and she was like, blown away, like, wow, Gonzalo, this is awesome. I love the music from Venezuela, the cuatro, and I was also singing, and it was like a party going on that stage. So that, at that time, she was like, I want to do something with Venezuelan music, and I this is going to be a dream that I want to share with you. My dream is to have you playing Venezuelan music someday. So the dream came through last night, and she did an amazing job. She told me what to do. Do you want to bring musicians? What do you want to do? And I said right away, well, I want to play with Victor Mestas, which is a great Venezuelan piano player living here in Colorado, in Broomfield. And Victor is just unbelievable. And then Hector Molina, which is my friend, you know, we go way back in Venezuela playing together. I was part of the C4 trio and a great band like that he plays with. So it's a brotherhood. And the same thing with Manuel Rojas, which, you know, we have been playing together for so many years. So I put together this ensemble, no percussion, nothing else, just this. And the sound is, even myself, I still can't believe the sound we're getting out of this beautiful band. And we're sharing music, we're sharing our culture with everybody, where we're coming from, our love for our music, and most, you know, importantly, our love for ourselves, you know, the way we love each other like brothers. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's so, it really comes across in the music. And you went to college in Boulder, correct?
Yes, CU. Boulder, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Manuel and Hector, I'm standing up because there you are. You both are fairly recent newcomers to here, and you flew in all the way from Miami for Hector, and Manuel, you're Houston. So just to play this gig, so it is really, really special. And how did you guys work together to lead up to this gig? Is this music like so ingrained in you? Did you get to practice?
Well, this is amazing because, I mean, playing with these guys, like literally, is like going into an airplane and you know the pilot and everything is going to work out perfectly. So you just sit down and you just fly. You don't have to do anything else other than enjoy your fly and just, you know, have fun. And this is the same situation right here. So because we're so connected, like musically and personally, that we just play music. We know what to do at this point, because we have played in different occasions, like with Manuel. I was, you know, always playing my new compositions, and I recorded on his album, he's on my albums. Hector, the same situation, you know, playing with C4 Trio and then playing like duets or different bands in Venezuela. And even in Miami, you had the opportunity to go there and play with these guys and, you know, different times. And with Victor, it's like almost an everyday situation because we live really close. So we play music and different bands, and we have done like duets, concerts, playing Venezuelan music from Latin America. So it's just like I wrote down a list of tunes that I wanted to play, including some of my compositions, and I emailed out all the music. And so here is what I think we could play. And after that, we just got together, and I remember going to CU to rehearse. Victor was offering, because Victor is faculty member at CU Boulder, so he was able to open, you know, the school and go inside and practice and rehearse. But before we even played one note, we were just talking and catching up. Like, I was, like, even getting emotional, like, having all of them, like, close to me. I was hugging them, like, yeah. We were talking, catching up. And then, like, an hour after that, or an hour and a half, I'm like, we should probably play something. And that was, and when we played, like, from the beginning, so, I mean, we, oh, like, do you want to play this? Yeah. So we were just playing. Next one, that. Like, just like that. Like, everything came, you know, together so easily. And yesterday, the same thing. We went to the sound check, or they're like getting ready. I didn't have a set list. I didn't know what we were going to play. And I'm right there, like an hour before the concert, like, hey, guys, you want to try this new tune that I wrote? And they're like, sure. So playing the whole tune, first time, sight reading, let's play it tonight, just like that. So 5 minutes before the concert, I didn't have a set list. And I'm like, guys, how about if we put together a set list? Sure. So that was like, boom, 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 boom. It's so beautiful. It's just amazing.
Well, as Art Ackerman said, this isn't music, it's magic. And it really was. You guys all just got right into the music, and it directed you. It took you where you need to go. Now, Gonzalo and Hector, you both are Latin Grammy winners. And I think you have two nominations. And
yeah.
You've been nominated for 5, Hector, and won 2.
They won four.
Ah, I need up. Look at this. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit, Hector, and maybe lift that microphone up a little bit so it gets to your mouth for a minute. Where your origin story is, where you came from, how you got to learn the cuatro.
Well, I played this instrument, the Venezuelan cuatro. It's our national instrument from Venezuela. All the people in Venezuela play this instrument. It's very, very special for us because this instrument is present in all regions from Venezuela, and all families has this instrument in each house. I grew up listening this kind of music, this instrument. Right? I mean, my family, my father played a little bit the instrument. And I saw him play the cuatro, and I started to play the instrument, you know, when I was a child. It's very important for us. This instrument is present in all folk music from Venezuela. And play this kind of music, this instrument in this town, so far that our country is very special for us because it's show you other face that our country, you know, it's important for us. I think that we like to show you this kind of music, this instrument, because it's very special from Venezuelan people.
Yeah, that's right. And Manuel, what? How did you come to the flute?
Yeah, the flute in Venezuela is very important. The flute has a long history, this is instrument. But the flute is a classical instrument in Venezuela. In the instrumental music in Venezuela, is very important, this instrument. But I play flute, is 15 years old. Uh-huh. I love play the Venezuelan music, Latin American music, but in this moment, for me, it's my pleasure to play with Gonzalo, Hector. Gonzalo and Hector, my brothers. Yeah. I am very happy play, and this place in Carbondale is an amazing place.
Oh. Aw, so nice.
It's very beautiful and sweet. City. Yeah.
All right. That's wonderful. And we are lucky enough that Manuel and Hector have their instruments with them. So maybe we could hear a little tune.
Yeah.
And Gonzalo, do you know what tune we're hearing?
Again, this is the same situation I had five minutes before the concert last night. So, and this is, it's funny because you just said like Venezuelan music is like magic. It's just like that, you know. You just trust and let Venezuelan music do whatever it wants with you. So, what do you guys want to play? they're gonna play "Por Estos Rincones," which is a song, La Danza Zuliana, from Zulia State in Venezuela.
And I wish you guys could have seen Gonzalo playing the imaginary bass. That was so good.
I couldn't help it.
I wondered about
that. Yeah, I was playing the bass with singing it, but it's just playing with these guys anyway is worth it.
So what is it about Venezuelan music that is in your soul? Are all of you composers? I know that Hector composes, and you. Yeah. So the three of you compose. And when you go to compose, I would imagine the music of your country is very prevalent. But what other influences do you find make their way in the mix?
Well, I would say for myself, is I listen to classical music, Latin jazz, music from Argentina, from Colombia, different countries. So I love jazz. I love Baroque music, and so what I do is like I try to combine different styles when I compose, right? Because I have different influences within Venezuelan music. So it's kind of fusion when I write Venezuelan music, but also I could go like very traditional and write a Venezuelan merengue, which by the way has nothing to do with Dominican Republic merengues. And these Venezuelan merengues are like in five beats, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So when I compose in five like merengues from my country, I go like very kind of very traditional to the rhythm and the style. So, but basically, yeah, I have different influences that I use, and the same, you know, I'm pretty sure they do the same thing. You know, we listen to different music styles. That's talking about the way I composed. I don't know about Hector and Manuel.
It's the similar way, yeah, no, the same way, similar, but yeah. Because in this moment that humanity. We listen of so many kinds of music, right? And that music is an influence our composition. With traditional vision, but with other elements like jazz, classical music. It's our way, no, to
to
write.
Yeah, it's the same. I love the tango, Brazilian music, Colombian music. It's very very important for me that the traditional music in Colombia, Venezuela, Cuba, the salsa, timba, and the jazz and Latin jazz, and the classical music.
Well, it really comes across. I did learn that last night. Five beats on the merengue in Venezuela. So before I'd love to have one more song, but before we go out, is there a place where people can find each of your music?
Oh yeah, definitely. You can like I said last night, I love to, you know, share my music with everybody. You can go to Spotify, you can go to YouTube, iTunes. My music is everywhere. If you go to my webpage, GonzaloTepa.com, you find my music, you listen to my albums. But you just look for Gonzalo Tepa, GONZALO, and then Tepa, TEPPA. And there is all, you know, all my music, you can find it. And I'm about to release my second album with my quintet. Nice. And I have more, like I have a quattro player from Venezuela, Jorge Glenn, which is also part of the C4 trio. And I have a great maraca player, Daniel Prim, and I have Manuel Rojas on flute and a couple of tracks. And so this album is coming with different styles. Like talking about influences when you compose, like I have like a danzón from Cuba. I have straight ahead jazz. I have a Venezuelan merengue. I have a joropo from Venezuela too that I wrote for my dad. So it's like, it's, you know, you can find different styles and yeah. And then you guys have the music.
The same
and,
base, yeah. All Spotify. Platforms. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they would look under your names. And do you want to each spell your names just so the audience?
My name is Hector, H-E-C-T-O-R, Molina, M-O-L-I-N-A.
Beautiful. You did it.
Yeah, my name is Manuel Rojas. It's M-A-M-U-E-L-R-O-J-A-S.
And you can catch them all tonight at the Ben Fong Productions, the Barn Final Barn Music Series tonight. And there are still a few tickets left. So if you go to benfong.org, and that's B-E-N-F-E-N-G. Actually, I should check this. It could be benfongmusic.org. You can still get tickets. And I would say it starts at 7 o'clock, and you guys should not miss it. Minsa even sits in with you for a few, and it's so much fun. So we'll go out with one more song. Mm-hmm.
Play that Venezuelan merengue.
It's called the frutero. It's the fruit seller. Fruit seller.
Oh, Oh, my gosh. It is so wonderful to have you gentlemen in here. And we're so glad you're in our community. And I am sure that we're going to see Gonzalo again down here in the valley throughout time. And hopefully we will have Hector and Manuel back someday. Thank it's you. Been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, so Thank you much for inviting us. Thank you. That was just a little Hector Molina for you. And now, hopefully, we have Craig Ferguson on the phone with us. Are you there, Craig? Hello? Are you there? I think it's right. You know, we're just dealing with the new board, so... Let's try Craig again. We're going to put on a little music for you, and we'll get right back.
Let me in your heart, but I keep pushing back. Runaway train, about to jump the track. It ain't nothing new, I've done it all my life. I hate it when I do, but I can pay the price. When you look at me, you know the way that you do.
Hello, do we have Craig there?
Hey, Amy.
Oh, my gosh. This is so exciting. Okay, folks, we got Craig Ferguson on the air with us right now. He is the force behind Planet Bluegrass and the upcoming Telluride Bluegrass Festival, which is the first in a long summer coming up of great music that you're bringing. And, wow, it's so great that you've taken some time for us. How many years have you been doing this festival?
About, Amy, when was the first time I met you?
You met me, it must have been 1984 is when I bought the nightclub. So around 1985, 86?
Yeah, right? Around in there.
Yeah.
So about, you know, that's how long. And, you know, I didn't really make time for your audience, Amy. I just made time for you.
Oh.
So it was fun to talk to you.
Oh, well, I always love catching up with you. And this year, the festival's June 19th to 22nd. And, wow, what a lineup. I mean, you've got all the regular suspects. But then you have some really cool acts coming. I got to say, Thursday might be my favorite day with Gillian and David, Gillian Welch and David Rawlings and Jason Isabel. Woo.
Well, and These Sacred Souls, and I'm with her.
Yeah.
These Sacred Souls are going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so tell us about These Sacred Souls, because I was not familiar with them.
Well, you know, we actually got to know them a little bit when they were just starting, and we had them at our Maybon thing in September.
Mm.
And things, you know, they're kind of just a fun soul band, and they're really getting a lot of acclaim now and a lot of awards. They're not at all in our genre, so it'll be pretty fun, but that Solstice Sun thing, I'm really looking forward to that.
Cool.
And like, you know, they've got their whole, like, for instance, they just headlined Coachella, you know, or one, maybe not headline, but we're one of the key bands there.
Wow.
And, you know, so they're a new fun thing I'm really excited about. But, you know, the Gil and Dave and the Jason, they've got a love affair with each other as well.
I wonder.
So that's going to be, we're looking forward to a lot of collaboration that night.
Yeah. Oh.
And that's just Thursday, but, you know, I think you're right. That's the day we're pretty excited about. You know, gosh, I'm pretty excited about the lineup in general. You know, I feel like we've really been getting pretty fortunate. And, you know, some of the, like, to be able to get Zach Top when we got him is kind of like These Sacred Souls, you know.
Right.
Zach Top is now zipping into country stardom and getting a lot of attention. You know, and Alison Krauss, it's been a long time since we've had her, but in many ways, you know, she was the festival's first real kind of headliner that crossed us over.
Well, I remember when I worked with her, she was like 15 years old. 14, 15.
Oh, yeah. I think, Amy, when we first, in 1990, you know, that was the first year she came. And, yeah, we were younger then, Amy, you know. But
I'm
we were
still
such
young.
good, we were like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. So that's why we've lasted so long.
Well, I like that the women are ruling there with Lake Street Dive and Casey Chambers and Alison Krauss back. So that's pretty exciting. But I really want to talk about Toy Factory.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How did that come about?
Everybody's excited about that.
Yeah. Let's tell our audience about Toy Factory, because I don't think most people even know, because they are debuting at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival.
Yes, they are. Toy Factory is the working title, and I think perhaps one of the original band names for the Marshall Tucker Band. And it's really a tribute to Toy Caldwell, who was the main writer in that band. So it's a lot of those old songs. It's a project that's been a record that's been completed for 3 years. So they're kind of debuting it at Telluride.
Ah.
It's a Marcus King-led project.
Mm-hmm.
On the recording are artists like Vince Gill, Peter Frampton, and Derek Trucks, all of which said they were going to be here when we started. Mm-hmm. I think the Eagles got a few million dollars to go somewhere, and Vince Gill got a few million to go somewhere else, and Derek Truss got all that was. I don't think none of them are going to make it, but it's But some of the original members are Marshall Tucker and the Allman Brothers are coming. Everybody's pretty excited about that one.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And you got O'Teal. I just saw O'Teal at the Sphere a couple weeks ago. He plays with Dead & Company, and he's going to be the bassist. And Charlie Starr from Blackberry Smoke and Josh Schilling, who's played with Winona. Yeah, yeah, you've got it. It just seemed, it was like, what? This looks like a lot of fun. And so who else are you excited about?
Well, you mentioned earlier Casey Chambers, who's kind of one of my personal favorites, you know, Australia. She's
You've been
Australia
in love with
a lot
her.
Like, oh, for a long time. You know, in Australia, she's a much like, maybe like a Gillian Welch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just on this year's lineup, I think that's so cool to have Gil and Casey and Allison are really, in my world, that's just, you don't get any better for the kind of Americana country grassy thing, you know, that I just love each of those so much. But the Toy Factory thing is so amazing. Zach Top, I'm just, the interesting thing there is when his agent and I started talking about the festival, his agent called me the next day and says, well, you know, Zach just told me that he took 3rd place at the Rocky Grass Flat Pick Guitar Contest when he was up here at CU a few years ago.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, this lineup is so rich. You know, I tell you, one of my favorites, I think one of the best sets of the festival is going to be Dan Tominski. He's not playing with Allison on Union Station because he just wanted to do his own thing.
Yeah.
And his bluegrass band and his singing on Friday night is one of the is something I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, nice, nice. So you've got this amazing festival together in this incredibly beautiful location. And it seems like if someone's really lucky, they still might be able to squeeze in to see this.
Yeah, you know, for the first time in like over a decade, we have camping available this time of year. And I'm not really sure why. There's all these theories from Trump to the economy to COVID that make people found their community on their couch. But so we do have a few camping, and they're like at Lawson Hill where you basically camp on sod.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a few of that, and it's you know, the summer solstice this weekend in Telluride, it's hard to beat. I'm not sure you even care who the bands are.
Right.
And I don't, you know, it's kind of an unusual thing. We're kind of surprised. So those folks in Carbondale ought to get out there.
Well, it's true. I mean, so many people have tried to go to bluegrass and missed the boat. So I really feel like this is the incredible opportunity for those that have never been before. If you've never been to Telluride, but you always wondered and you wanted to go, this is your opportunity, folks, to experience something really unique, something that has really set the bar, I would say, for bluegrass festivals around the country. And usually you can't, there are no tickets at this time. So if they did want to get tickets, where would they go?
Bluegrass.com.
There you go. And not only that, you also get to look at all the other festivals coming up. Because Telluride, there's also the workshops, right? You have ongoing workshops. You have band contests. You have songwriting contests. You still got Szymanski doing the contests?
He's doing a lot of that. We've got one of my original shareholders' daughter, Kira, is kind of easing in to take over a lot of that.
Wow.
But she's pretty involved in that at Telluride and then some of the Lions thing. You know, another thing that's happening this summer is pretty cool is the Dirt Band's last Colorado performance at Folks Festival. And that's going to be a pretty fun show.
Right. Yeah, and you actually have one of my most favorite bands is Devil Makes Three. I'm a huge...
Really?
Oh, yeah, Craig. I love those guys.
I'm so glad to hear that, Amy.
Yeah.
You know, that Folks is a fun lineup, too. And, you know, Rocky Grass, we actually still, unusually there, we still have a few little tickets there. We're not worried at all. But if you want to see something cool, Molly Tuttle's last show with Golden Highway, then everybody's going off to do different things. But that's going to be Rocky Grass. And one of the reasons that's so cool, Amy, is her mandolin player, Dominic, in that band, actually learned to play mandolin in my backyard.
No
at Rocky
way.
Rocky Grass Academy. Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's talk just a little bit about Rocky Grass and Folks. Rocky Grass is, what, is it the 24th? of July?
Last full weekend in July. I kind of quit remembering the numbers.
I think it's the 24th.
Last full weekend in July. And we've got there, too. We've got just a little camp, and it's really such a great festival. Sam's always at our shows there, but String Dusters and Molly Tuttle's really the – we have some Friday single days, but really the three-day camping for that show. It's a pretty good – it's not so far from Carbondale.
Right, exactly. No, not at all. And then Folksfest is that second weekend of August, I think the 8th to the 10th.
Yeah.
8th,
10th.
I know. You better watch out. I'm tempted. I know. I'm very tempted to go on up. I got myself a little Chinook camper, and, you know, you got room in your driveway.
I got a place in my backyard for you. Folks is a cool lineup, you know, Watch House. And
yeah.
There's a lot of cool things. And it's kind of a really unique, different blend of Americana folk kind of. It has its own personality. But one of my favorite things about folks is the new bands that are really cool energy.
Yeah, it's looking really good. And don't worry, I am seriously considering it. And, you know, a game that I started playing at Folks many years back, and I haven't been able to play it for a while because I haven't been there, is you pick a word of the day, not love, because then you'd be drunk by the end of the day. But and any time anybody sings a song with that word in it, you have to take a shot. It's really fun.
Oh, boy. I'm glad I can't play that game. But also, I don't want to dilute the message that, you know, for real, Telluride Bluegrass is a little opportunity this year for a few lucky people to camp on spot and go to this show. And I, you know, usually our tickets sell out in an instant in December, and we've made such an assault on scalpers and stuff that I think a lot of people just assume it's sold out like it always is. So we would love a few new people for sure.
Well, that
and and they'd want to come back, I promise.
Yeah. That is so true. And the solstice is a really special time to see music. And I have to say, it has spoiled me. Telluride Bluegrass has spoiled me for seeing other shows sometimes in other places, because there is nothing like the experience one gets, whether it's kind of snowing or raining or gorgeous. It's always magical. So
summer solstice in Telluride, Colorado cannot be beat.
Yeah, I agree. So, and that's bluegrass.com, guys. I mean, it's like so easy to get to the webpage. So, yeah, I know. I'm going to miss being there this year, but
you've got another great show to get all worked up about, and I love what you're doing there.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to get you to come by and just
I
pop
know.
In.
It's awesome, though, Amy. It's awesome. I love that's great music. I want to come by and see it, because you guys always have great bands.
Well, thank you. Well, Craig, I really appreciate you taking the time, and I think just have a feeling you're going to see me this summer. So,
well, I hope so.
You
I
will.
Need to.
Okay, thank I you love you, so. And I love all you're doing, and thank you so much for taking the time
thank
on KDNK.
Thank you. I'll see y'all at Telluride.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Whiskey makes the band sound better, makes your baby cuter, makes yourself taste sweeter. Oh boy, rye whiskey makes your heart beat louder, makes your voice seem softer, makes the back room hotter. Oh, but rye thoughts aren't good thoughts, boys. Have I ever told you about the time I
ever told you about the time I got my work done quickly, held my baby tightly. Oh boy, my whiskey mix.
All right, thanks for keeping it tuned here to Katie and Kay on Express Yourself. We've got one more interview here with the stars of the Andy Zanga Youth Empowerment Program. How are you all today? Turning on your microphones. Hi there.
Hi.
Let's just go around real quick and just introduce each of you, starting with the executive director.
Yeah. I'm Brendan Girardo. I am the executive director of the Andy Zanga Youth Empowerment Program, and happy to be here. Thanks for having us,
yeah,
Brian.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
I am Parker Wilson. I am a former ASYIP DJ and a current broadcast instructor.
Awesome. Thank you, Parker.
I'm Megan Weber. I'm the news and education director, and I'm also Andy Zanga's niece.
Oh, yes. I did not know that.
Oh.
I'm learning things on the Express Yourself show. Well, we're having you all here because you're celebrating 25 years of ASYIP. Incredible feat. Congratulations. And there's a birthday bash coming up Saturday, June 7th. So next Saturday,
yeah.
Which is here at KD&K, I think. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, great. Congratulations. I wanted to start just with like a brief history. I don't know who's best to answer this question. Maybe Megan, yeah.
Yeah, so my mom, Anne Marie, founded ASYIP. It's actually kind of not totally a happy story, but my uncle Andy was 21 years old when he passed away. He passed away when I was 9 months old.
Wow.
So I never really knew him. I have, like, pictures of him holding me as a newborn, but I have no memory of him.
Yeah.
But he... Ever since he was 8 or 9 years old, KD&K was his home, mm-hmm. like his happy place.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he was like the first youth DJ that KD&K ever had.
Wow.
So when he passed away, my mom decided that she really wanted to start a nonprofit in his honor at KD&K just to kind of to commemorate him, but also to give a home to kids who really need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think back then and even today, what we're seeing is that kids need a safe place to be, whether it's just to come and debrief after a hard day at school, or maybe they're not getting along with their friends, or they just need an outlet and they can come and play music and do whatever yeah. they want in here and not be judged for it. So
I feel like anybody who listens to KD&K knows ASYIP. Sometimes
so.
When I turn the radio on, I hear some music and it's just like the best jams, and it's these kids and they're picking out these songs that I've heard from growing up, but also new stuff to me. And it's just a blast every time.
It's really great to hear just how eclectic our DJs can be. You know, they're in that stage, or most of them, like varying stages of music discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may hear, you know, AC/DC alongside Taylor Swift,
yep.
You know, and there's like, they're not batting an eye, you know, that's what they want to hear. That's what they want to share. And it's really cool to see them have that opportunity, or to give them that opportunity.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
Can you just give us, Brendan, just an overview of what you do with ASYIP and what the programs are like?
Yeah.
How do kids get involved?
So we essentially, this on-air studio is our classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So a majority of the work that we do is with kids who are producing their own radio programs here at KD&K.
Yeah.
So we have a total of 6 hours of airtime, and kids.
Is that a week?
Six hours of airtime a week.
Cool.
You can find us on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 4, Thursday evenings from 7 to 9, and Sunday from 2 to 4 as well.
Excellent.
So yeah, and we also produce public affairs programs, which Megan leads,
mm-hmm.
and those are, you know, youth focused and youth led conversations about relevant issues to the kids within our valley.
Mm-hmm.
So that combined with classroom outreach, where we actually bring radio to students from mm-hmm. essentially Aspen to parachute.
Wow.
And record, you know, record kids reading poetry, delivering PSAs, things like that. And it all, essentially all of that supports our broadcast programs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're giving these students and young people an opportunity to share their opinion, share their voice, explore their creativity. And primarily when they're here, they're doing it through one-on-one mentorship with one of our lovely staff members or myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also providing a lot of, as Megan touched on, like a lot of social emotional support during that time as well. So yeah, that's really, you know, on a day-to-day basis, that's kind of what we're up to. We also host programs or workshops throughout the summer. So
we've got
three different summer camps aged at different, different grade levels.
Yeah.
You know,
are they still open for this summer or is that filled up already?
Well, one of them has filled up. Our middle school camp, which is Barely Experts, has filled up. But there's still open spots for the Kids Corner Camp, which is for more elementary age students.
Okay.
And then for our high school aged camp, which will be happening in August. And that's a partnership with Sopra Sun, where the students will be learning about environmental podcasting and storytelling.
Wow.
So if anyone out there is listening and is interested in signing up for those camps, they can visit asyup.org and there's an enrollment link right on the website. So,
oh my gosh. Yeah. There's so many amazing things that ASYUP is all about. Yeah. It's incredible.
I wanted to mention that Parker here is one of our public affairs hosts. She hosts diversity. So
yep.
I do.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about your experience just kind of being through coming through ASYUP. How old were you when you started doing that, and what's it like now?
I started with ASYUP right after I turned 13.
Wow.
I'd gotten a record player for my birthday, and my dad's friend saw on Facebook Drea Marsh and reached out to him, who was one of our instructors way back when, and asked if I'd like to be part of the program. And I'd never done radio before, and it still made me really nervous, but I did it, and I just kept going, and I eventually graduated from being a youth DJ to joining the internship program.
Huh.
For our high school interns. I did that for 2 years, and now I get to be part of the staff, so I am really grateful to have been able to climb this little ladder through the program and get to watch the program grow.
I really get a lot out of every episode. Every time I tune into ASYUP, I learned something about music, but also like what you were saying, Brendan, about some like emotional support things. I learned how to, you know, breathe and imagine there's a bubble growing and to kind of, yeah, focus on your patience.
Yeah.
There.
We've partnered with Focused Kids for that particular segment, which is the Focused Kids Brain Tips. We'll
I love
that. Premiering the summer edition of those here very shortly.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yeah.
How many youth do you think ASYUP has worked with over the past 25 years?
That's a big number. I don't know, Brendan, do you know if there's a number anywhere?
So, I mean, you know, data collection has been, we're much better about it now. And I have numbers for this particular school year,
mm-hmm.
which total a little bit over 700.
700.
Because when we go and record these classroom projects, sometimes it'll be an entire grade.
Wow.
You know, like Megan, you recorded the entire.
I've done like just this month. I did like five classroom projects. So I went into five different schools around the valley and recorded.
Yeah.
Like Crystal River Elementary, for example, their entire fourth grade read. Water conservation PSAs.
Wow.
So, and there's like, I believe close to 60 kids total in that one grade. So.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That times five.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
We've got right now of about 70 regular DJs who rotate in for the music shows.
Wow.
And some of them do them solo, some of them do them in pairs. You know, we even have siblings who come in like 3 and 4 at a time and do shows together, you know, which is really great to see.
Yeah.
It's tough to say. I mean, I was really thinking about that when you sent the questions over, and I was like, man, is it far too lofty to say like 10,000? I don't.
I mean, was going a million, you know, in my head, and you say 700 in 1 year.
Right?
That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, my mom would be a good person like to ask just how many kids she would have. Like, Brendan, when you were a youth DJ, do you remember how many kids were in the classroom with you?
Yeah. So at the very most, our program, I was a DJ like 2003 through 2005, six-ish.
Okay. Yeah.
We had maybe 15 to 20 participants in the program total at that time.
Okay.
25 at the very most, you know? So you it guys started have really very grown small.
It. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that's it would incredible. Have, yeah, it would have started pretty small, but yeah, right. It's grown a lot. So,
yeah.
I don't know, hundreds and thousands of kids, yep. Probably. Yeah.
I know. We should really count that up and just
I'll ask
keep
my
track.
Mom.
That's kind of interesting.
What she had. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, why do each of you think ASYEP is so important, especially today? And would you recommend, you know, other radio stations hosting similar programs? It seems like it's made an impact on this community.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering your kind of perspective on that.
Well, I mean, I feel like I could talk about this for a long time, so I'll try not to. But no, it's been honestly for years, I've been having kind of like a vision or a hope that we could expand ASYEP and kind of take it more regional. It'd be cool to see other Colorado radio stations any radio station. We're doing a partnership this year with a station out of Indiana, right? WFHB.
Oh, interesting.
As they do have a youth radio program. There's a few others around the country, but yeah, I totally think it should be more common for kids to be on the radio. And
like anywhere there's kids, there should be a kid radio.
There should be.
Youth radio program.
And, you know, I heard my mom say something like this in an interview once, and I think it holds true. Just when you hear these kids talking on the radio, whether it's a music show or a project or a podcast, they're talking about what really matters to them in their classrooms and their families. Mm-hmm. And some of the things they say shock me. Because this is a scary time. And we at ASYEP and KDNK, and I think a lot of us in Carbondale, we support, you know, we pride ourselves on being inclusive and uplifting. Mm-hmm. I mean, our name is the Youth Empowerment Program.
Exactly.
We can't not empower young people. So, I could go on and on. But, yeah, I think it's incredibly important just that kids have a place to come and be themselves so that, you know, we can. I mean, Andy didn't have a lot of friends, and that's why his life was so short.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I want to create more places where kids have friends.
Yeah.
And have adults who support them and believe in them. So I think, that's my TED Talk.
It's an amazing program. I know we have one more minute left before NPR is going to come on. So real quick, I do want to talk about the celebration, the birthday party.
Yeah, for sure.
Next Saturday, June 7th. Is that right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Next Saturday, June 7th, we'll be here in front of KDNK in the street. We will have youth performers, four different acts. A few of them are DJs from within the program that will be presenting DJ sets.
Oh, cool.
Some of them are performing live music.
Yeah.
We will have a kids activity area where you'll be able to purchase an ASYEP t-shirt and tie-dye it yourself.
Cool.
That's
fun.
We'll be doing rock painting. We'll have some yard games going. And, of course, food. We'll have pizza from Destino's Pizza Estrada and snow cones from Colorado Snow. They do these crazy souped-up snow cones.
What's the website real quick?
AZYEP.org is where you can find more information. So
thank you all so much, Megan, Parker, Brendan.
Of course.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Brian.
We'll see you there on Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday.